Say the name. Every chain is broken. This worship is We do apologize for the messing up of this song, but we just want to give God praise.
No matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand. For your life is in His hands.
We do know that the enemy is a liar, and we bind and rebuke Satan right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, we command you to take your hands off of these airwaves in the name of Jesus, and this broadcast will go forth in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you and praise you tonight for this broadcast. We thank you and praise you for your word, O God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we just want to thank you tonight and bless your name, because there is no one like you. There is no God like you. And Father, we give you glory and praise and honor in the name of Jesus. Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to please forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, Lord God, our fallings away, Lord God, anything that we've done, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you in our thoughts and our words and our actions, Lord God. We ask your forgiveness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help us, O God, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience, O God, in the name of Jesus, O God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us all the mind to serve you, O God, in the name of Jesus, that we will serve you and love you with our whole hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, our spirits, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just lift you up. I glorify you. I praise you, and I give you glory and honor tonight, O God. Father, I thank you, and I bless your name. Father, I pray for every hearer of this word on tonight, O God. I pray that, Lord God, for the unbeliever, that they will be saved, O God. I pray for the unbeliever that the blindness which Satan has blinded them, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Lord God, we pray that the blindness from the God of this world will fall from their eyes tonight, O God, will fall from their heart, O God, in the name of Jesus. that they might receive the word with meekness, O God, with joy, Lord God, and that they will be saved, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, O God. But Father, I thank you tonight, Lord God, that I am not ashamed of your gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation, Lord God. Hallelujah to everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first and even unto the Greek. Father, I thank you tonight for salvation. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, O God. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you, hallelujah, that the blood of Jesus shall never lose its power. Glory to God. And Father, I just say thank you tonight. I bless your name. Yes, God, I give you praise and glory, and I give you honor, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I bless you, O God. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good evening and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I would like to welcome you for joining us on tonight. This was not a scheduled broadcast, but I just felt in my spirit that it was time to do a broadcast strictly on salvation. I won't be speaking with anyone in the chat room. I won't be speaking with anyone on the phone line. We're just going to talk about salvation on tonight, and we're going to use this as something that we can post on our friends' pages and people who we know who are not born again, or maybe people who we know who have backslidden, and you know they used to serve Christ, but they decided they didn't want to serve Christ anymore. And I just want to let you know one thing for certain and two things for sure, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Son of God. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach. And you can read that in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. As a matter of fact, I think we should just read that now. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you will get your Bible and turn to the scripture as we're reading it, because it's very important that you hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God and receive the Word of God so that you can receive salvation. There's no man or woman who can save you. There's no other way that we can be saved other than the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I just want to read John chapter 14 into your hearing right now, because I think it's important that we hear the Word of God for ourselves and read it out loud so that, you know, we can hear it. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we want to make sure that we hear the Word of God. And John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No man comes through the Father except through me. But what I want to do is, I just want to go back and I want to read John chapter 14. Let's just start to the beginning, because we want to know who this he is Jesus was talking to, okay? I'm going to read this in the New King James Version of the Gospel of John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. I am reading this from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen me. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? These words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 14, verse 6. I need you to hear this. If you have your Bible, I need you to mark this down. Because Jesus is saying to you, there is no other way. There is no way to get to the Father God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of you and me. There's no other way to get to him except through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the truth of the Father. And Jesus is the life that the Father sent for us so that we might receive eternal salvation. So that we might receive eternal salvation. Everyone's familiar with the scripture found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, but we're going to read it again into your hearing. We want to read the Word of God out loud. We want to read it, and we're going to be reading it through the New King James Version as well. And I want you to hear the words of God. There was a man, we're starting at verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. We want to go back up to verse 14 of John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, I'd like to let you know that the Son of Man was lifted up. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was lifted up. He was lifted up when he was on the cross. But even before Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he was wounded for you and I. He was wounded, why? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And you can find that in Isaiah chapter 53, that Jesus was beaten by many stripes for us. He was wounded for us. And this all happened before he was nailed to that old rugged cross. He was nailed to the cross on our behalf, so that when we die, if we are in Jesus Christ, if we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, if we have faith in him that he did this for us, he did it so that when we die, we will not perish, but that we will have everlasting life with God the Father. As we read in John 14, it says, my Father goes to prepare a place for us. And if it were not so, he would have told us, hallelujah, glory to God. So he has prepared a place for us, but that place is only prepared for those who believe on the Son of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. I also like to share another scripture with you, and the scripture I'd like to share with you is found in 1 John. That's back there near Revelation, 1 John, and I'd like to read chapter 5 to you. And I want you to hear the words that are written in this scripture as well. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And this is saying that we need to hear the word over and over and over again, so that we can believe the word of God. Amen, amen, amen. All right, I'd like to go to 1 John chapter 5, and I'd like to go down to verse 11. And starting at 11, it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. All right? In the name of the Son of God. And that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. All right? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son, Jesus the Christ. This life is in his Son, Jesus the Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Other than the name of Jesus, there's no other name whereby man can be saved other than the precious name of Jesus. See, this is why it's so important for us to understand the word of God, to hear the word of God, and to hear it repeatedly, so that it can get down in our spirit, so it can get in our soul, so we can go back and rehearse the word of God again. God, you said that Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. That's what the word of God says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Through faith in what? Through faith in who? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works. What he is saying here is that we can never do enough to be saved. We can never do enough right things to be saved. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We just read in 1 John chapter 5. Okay, he who has the Son has life. This is verse 12 in 1 John chapter 5. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." How awesome is that? How amazing is that? Is that we can believe in Jesus, the Son of God. John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12 says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Glory to God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He is the light of the world, Jesus said. He is the light of the world. There is no other light. There is no other light other than the light of Jesus Christ. The light of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you today, if you've never heard about this Jesus before, I want to call your attention to who he is. He is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus did come to this earth through the Virgin Mother Mary. He came to this earth. He preached the gospel. He taught the gospel. He laid hands on the sick and they were recovered. He cast out demons. He made the lame to walk. He made the dumb to talk. He made the deaf to hear. We're talking about this Jesus, glory to God. This Jesus that gave his life as a ransom for many. This Jesus who obeyed the Father and came to this earth in a fleshly earth suit. He came to this earth to seek and to save them that are lost. We do know that Israel was the chosen nation, and they were lost and still are. But Jesus came to seek and save them. But because they refused Jesus, because they refused the Savior of the world, because they refused the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God opened up salvation to all mankind. He opened up salvation to the Jews and to the Greek. He opened up salvation to the Gentiles. He opened up salvation to everybody who would believe in his redemptive work at Calvary. Salvation is something that Jesus came to give for us. It is a gift. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. We just read it. It is the gift of God. Not something that we do, but something that Jesus did. And we have to believe in what he did, which causes us to be born again,
We have to believe. How can we believe in something or someone that we know nothing of? How can we believe in that if we don't know anything about him? But I'm here to tell you tonight about this man named Jesus. And Jesus just took it upon himself when his father asked him or told him to go and save my people. And he did. He allowed them to nail him to the cross. He allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to crucify him. He allowed them to do that. For you and for me. He did it for you and for me because he loved us so much. Can you understand a love so much that will give their very life for you so that you won't have to go to hell? Can you imagine if you just close your eyes for a moment? Just imagine how much God loves us that he would sacrifice his only begotten son, his own self, his very flesh, his very blood, his very being, that he would sacrifice his own son to come down to this world to save us. To save us so we won't have to live in eternal damnation. So we don't have to be separated from God eternally. He loved you so much. He loved me so much that he would send his word and give it to us and have us to study his word and meditate on his word and accept Jesus through faith. I've not personally seen Jesus. I haven't personally seen him yet. But I'd love to. But I have to believe on him who I've never seen. I've never seen Jesus, but I've seen his work. I know his work, his redemptive work, because his redemptive work has saved me. I know his love because his love has drawn me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know that the word of God tells me in the Gospel of John that he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. That the world through Jesus might be saved. God doesn't want us to die and go to eternal damnation. God doesn't want us to be eternally separated from him. That's why he gave us another chance. See, when man first separated himself from God in the Garden of Eden, that saddened God. That saddened God. So God set forth some rules and regulations for mankind to follow. And they had to do all of these sacrifices and kill the lambs and the goats and the turtle doves and all these sacrifices they had to do. They had to put blood on the altar and all of these things they had to do. They had ceremonial laws. They had laws that you had to do for all kinds of things in the Old Testament. And God realized it was just impossible for mankind to keep all of these laws and all of these feasts and all of these ceremonies. And he said, let me do something else here. Let me give them another chance. Let me send my son Jesus, the precious Lamb of God. Let me send my son Jesus. Let me send my son Jesus so that they don't have to do the animal sacrifices anymore. So they don't have to have atonement every year. The priest doesn't have to take the lamb and the goat and keep sacrificing these things because the people it's not working. Let me do something else here. I'm going to send my son Jesus. I'm going to send my son Jesus into the world. And I'm going to show the world how much I love them. I'm going to show them through my son Jesus how much I love them. And Jesus is going to suffer many things for them. But the end result is that if they believe on my son, they will have eternal life with me. Eternal life. No more death. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more sickness. But eternal life, where there be joy always, where there be worshiping and praising God always, where there be mansions and streets of gold, glory to God, hallelujah. Doesn't that sound like a loving God? Doesn't that sound like a loving God, hallelujah? Won't you accept Jesus Christ today? Won't you accept him into your heart today by faith? Won't you accept him today. I just want to invite you to accept Jesus. I want to offer Jesus to you because there is no other way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. There's no other way. There's no other way. No other way but through the name of Jesus. And I tell you, he is so worthy and he loves them so much. He loved us so much. In the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Doesn't that sound like a sweet letter to us? Doesn't it sound like a sweet letter to us that God wrote to us? Doesn't it sound like he loves us so much that he would just send these words for us to hear? He would send these words for us to hear. And I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read it again. And I just want you to hear it because it sounds so lovely to me. I'm going to read the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and I'm going to start at verse 1. I'd like to read the Word of God, and I'd like for you to have your Bible and a paper and a pencil or some type of writing utensil so that you can write these scriptures down, that you can go back and read the Word of God and read it out loud so that you can hear the Word of God. It says in verse 1 of chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. In verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, seeing the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Are you right? Did you hear that love letter? Did you hear that love letter from God the Father? Did you hear that love letter? My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us now read Jeremiah chapter 17 and 14. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. I'm sorry, my phone is ringing right now. We want to read Jeremiah 17, verse 14. It says, Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Isn't that lovely? Doesn't that just make you feel all warm and good inside? I know it does me. Hallelujah. I want to read something else to your hearing. And I did have us to be on for an hour and a half, but we're not going to be on that long. But I do want to read something else into your hearing. And it's going to be found in Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, and again, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and this is the song, a psalm of David, and it's really called a prayer of repentance, and I just want to read this to you, okay? It says, this is Psalm chapter 51, starting at verse 1, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. These, O God, you will not despise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get a chance, go back and read that. Go back and read that. I mean, just take the word of God as he's just speaking to you. He's ministering to you. See, he wants us all to be born again. It's not God's will that any of us perish, but he wants us all to be born again. To be born again. To be born again. I'm going to read something to you in the book of Psalm. The book of Psalm in chapter 19. And we're going to go to verse 5. We're going to go to verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." See, this is why I'm reading to you, because the word of God, which is also called the law of the Lord, it says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, many understand the term of repentance to mean turning from sin. Okay? I've said it myself. I've heard many people say it, that repentance means turning from sin. But that's not really an accurate description or definition for repentance, okay? Repentance really means to change your mind, to change one's mind. So the things that we used to do, we're changing our minds about those things, and we're beginning to look at the things that we used to do the way God looks at them. God hates sin. God hates sin. So we want to begin to look at things like God does to change our mind about sin. I no longer want to sin because when I sin, I'm hurting God. I don't want to sin anymore because when I continue in sin, it's as if I'm putting Jesus Christ back on the cross again and crucifying him afresh. So I don't want to sin. So now my mindset about sin is differently. I've changed my mind about sin. But the way for us to change our mind about sin is to pray and to fast and to meditate on the Word of God, to rehearse the Word of God out loud, to speak the Word of God and let our mind renew our mind with the Word of God. When we begin to renew our minds with the Word of God, that's when we begin to change our thinking, to change our mind about what we were doing. Because before we accept Jesus Christ into our heart by faith, okay, before we accept him, the things that we did them and pretty much we just did it and didn't really care about it. But then we begin to think after we read the Word of God, we begin to look at the Word of God and we begin to say, wow, God hates that. You know, you can read in Galatians chapter 5, you know, how about the works of the flesh, and then you read about the fruits of the Spirit. And, I mean, you begin to see how God hates sin. You can just read through the Old Testament and see how God wanted his people to follow after him. He didn't want his people to follow after other gods. He didn't want his people seeking other things. He wanted his people to seek him and to love him and to obey him. And that's the same thing he wants for us today. He wants us to love him with a pure heart. God wants us to love him because he loved us. He doesn't want us to love him because he can provide us with things and give us houses and cars and money, you know, and jobs and children and husbands and wives. He wants us to love us because we have meditated on his love for us and know how much he loved us, so we love him back. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone and you just wanted them to love you? Have you ever been in a relationship with someone who you loved with your whole heart, but they didn't love you back? Have you ever been in a relationship where someone loved you and you didn't love them back? I'm talking about a real natural human relationship where someone loved you, but you just didn't love them back. I mean, they did everything they could for you. They cried. They prayed. They gave you everything you wanted, everything you needed. They were there for you at your beck and call. When you fell, they picked you up. I mean, they were there for you when nobody else was. And that's how God is. God is here for us when nobody else is here for us. God loves us so much that he knows the secret tears. He knows the secret pain that you go through, things that you have never voiced to anyone else. God knows about that. Yes, even that he knows about. But he loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with a pure love that will never change. There is nothing that we can do that will change God's love for us. There is nothing that we can do that will make God hate us. God hates sin. Yes, he does. But God loves us, and he loves us so much. He loved us with an everlasting pure love so much that he sent his son, Jesus. Glory to God. He sent his son, Jesus, to be lifted up on a cross for everybody to see. Jesus was sinless. He was guiltless. He was holy and righteous, and he came to this earth to seek and to save them that are lost. When we don't know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of our sins, when we don't know him as the one who died for the remission of our sins, we are lost. And the aim of the enemy, the devil, Satan, is to keep us lost. But I'm here to tell you today that the Word of God that we spoke today is for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Redeemer, as your Deliverer, as your Healer, as your Savior, I'm here tonight, July the 19th, 2012, to let you know that Jesus, he's not a little baby in a manger anymore that people sing about on December the 25th. He's all grown up now. He died and went to heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us. Won't you accept Jesus Christ? Won't you accept Jesus Christ? Won't you accept him by faith tonight? Can I tell you that you can never do anything? You can't buy the love of God. You can't work off the love of God. There's nothing you can do to earn the love of God. And you can't even buy salvation. Jesus purchased your salvation through his death, his burial, and resurrection. He bore our sins in his own body. That if we just believe in Jesus and what he did for us, we shall be saved. That if we just believe in Jesus and what he did for us, then we shall be saved. He told us in John 10, there's no other way. There's no other way. And I'm not here to put down anybody else's religion, but I can tell you this. I believe the word of God. I believe the Holy Bible. And the Holy Bible says there is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't get past Jesus to get to God. You got to go through Jesus to get to God the Father. Oh, beloved, it's so simple. It's so simple. It's so simple to believe. And maybe you say, well, oh, I got to stop drinking first, and I got to stop smoking first. I got to stop fornicating first. I got to stop committing adultery first. I got to stop stealing first. I got to stop lying first. I got to stop all of this. The Bible says, come, come. Jesus said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. If you come to me, I will not cast you out. And then when you come to him and you begin to read the word of God and you begin to meditate on the word of God, you will see the things that God hates. Remember, repentance means to change your thinking. Change your way of thinking about that thing that you used to do. As you begin to read the word of God, you'll begin to see those things falling off. You'll begin to see that you hate sin like God hates sin. You'll stop lying. You'll stop fornicating. You'll stop stealing. You'll stop committing adultery. You'll stop doing all of those things that you were doing and begin to allow the fruit of the Spirit to come forth out of you, and you'll begin to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I hear people say all the time, well, that's too hard. It's not too hard. It's not too hard. It's not too hard. How can I say that? Because I was a stinking sinner. I was an alcoholic. I was a liar. I was a thief. I didn't care whose feelings I hurt it. I didn't like people. They didn't like me. I didn't care. I was an adulteress. I cheated on my former husband. I cheated. I lied. I was a deceiver. All of those things I was. Until I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart through faith, until I said, you know, I don't want to live this way anymore. When I began to see how much God hated sin, I began to change my mind about sin, and I began to repent, and I began to ask God to forgive me of my sin. And the more I read the word, even to this day, the more I read the word, the more I see how God hates sin and how ugly it is. And every time I sin, I ask God to forgive me, and I change my mind about that thing, and I do everything I can to stop doing that thing. But then I call on the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Help me mortify the deeds of my flesh, because I can't do this on my own. See, it takes more than just saying, Jesus, I accept you into my heart through faith. I accept you through faith as the shepherd. I accept you through faith as the way to God the Father, because there is no other way. I accept you, Jesus, as the good shepherd through faith, because there is no other way. But see, we have to begin to get into the Word of God and begin to meditate on the Word of God. Turn the TV off for a few minutes a day. You don't have to start with 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day. There's no bondage in Christ Jesus. But I would suggest that you start at least maybe 15 minutes. Turn the television off. Get yourself in a habit of reading the Word of God. I'm still getting myself in the habit of reading the Word of God because I don't like to read. I never have. But the more I get into the Word of God, He teaches me His Word. And I tell you, the Word of God is good. The Word of God is good. It will transform you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to be transformed. It says to present your body a living sacrifice unto God. Let's go and read that. I want to read it so that I don't miss any words, but I just want to read it.
Call from Ken.
Romans chapter 12. We're going to read Romans chapter 12, and we're still reading in the New King James Version. It says, I beseech you. This is Paul talking, and he's like, he's begging you. He's talking to you very strongly because he wants you to understand. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Two words that I really want you to hear about this, okay? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. If you have your Bible, underline that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you've ever seen the cartoons called the Transformers, okay, they start out as humans or in some other form. Maybe they're a car or whatever they are. And then they take on a totally different form and they become something else, okay? Most time when people talk about this word transform, they'll use the example of a caterpillar and how the caterpillar, when it's a season to go into the cocoon, it goes into the cocoon and it stays there for an extended period of time. And while that cocoon is in, that caterpillar is in the cocoon, it begins to change form. It begins to transform. It begins to become something different than what it was when it went in. So when that caterpillar, who was green and slimy and weird looking, looking like a green worm is the way I describe it, he goes into the cocoon and he stays in there for an extended period of time, and he goes through a metamorphosis, a transformation. He goes through this thing where the old him is shedding off. The old what he used to be is shedding off. It's coming off. And then when he comes out of that cocoon, he's unrecognizable. You don't even know that it was the same creature that went in. You don't even know that that was the same creature. If you didn't know anybody, you would think the caterpillar was still in there and the butterfly was in there too, but the butterfly chose to come out and the caterpillar decided to stay in there. However, the butterfly that has emerged, the beautiful creature that has emerged, was transformed. But he had to go through a process. And this is what we have to do. There is a process. When we say we accept Jesus Christ and the redemptive work that he did on Calvary, when he died, okay, when Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, when we accept that, then we begin to go through a metamorphosis. But that metamorphosis comes from reading the Word, studying the Word, obeying the Word. okay, praying and fasting and seeking God with our whole heart. That's when a metamorphosis comes. See, what a problem what a lot of people have is that they think it's going to happen just because they said they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They think, okay, boom, that's it. That's the beginning of the story. That's the beginning of the story. We have to go into the cocoon and allow God to transform us with his word. Allow God to renew our minds with his word so that our old way of thinking can cease, so that our old way of thinking can die, so that our old way of thinking can no longer come up and challenge us, because now we have a new mind. Now we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Yay, yay. I'm excited about this teaching. I am so excited about this teaching. And I pray that if you can, that you will go back and listen to this, and you would invite your friends to listen to this. And if you know somebody who is unsaved, that you would invite them to listen to this, because it is God's will that we be saved. It is God's will that we be saved. It is his will that we be saved. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us on tonight. I do see there were a couple of people in the chat room, guest 4298 and guest 4682. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. I invite you to share this. You have my permission to share this if you like, if God allows you to. You have my permission to share this. And if God says the same, we'll be back on the broadcast on tomorrow night. All right. God bless you. God bless you. God keep you. And I pray that the word that went forth on tonight, that you heard the word of God, and those in the archives, that you will hear the word of God and be saved if you're not born again. I love you, but God loves you more. God bless you. God bless you. And have an awesome, awesome, awesome night. God bless you. Good night.
I'm yours.